what we do is to activate our spirit so that we can understand the Word of God. The Word of God is not understood by intellectual, you know, experience. Not what is native to you. It's as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It makes things clear to you. You get my point here. Let me just give you a small testimony ahead. There was this one where young, we used to go to one fellowship at home. There was one woman in the village, somewhere in the Kitty. This woman is a farmer, never went to school, anything. One day she went for a program and they said, she gave her life to Christ. They started teaching them and they said the name of Jesus does everything. That's what the woman understood. All this Greek and Hebrew, the woman knew nothing else. Her own was that the name of Jesus does everything. They said there was nothing this woman did not do. She was a farmer, a rice farmer. So she had her own rice plot. So people, of course, they used to do all, you know, to control birds, you know, all these birds that the pests that destroyed their farms. So they do all kinds of things, including doing juju. So one day they told them to, all the farmers around said, let them go and contribute money to one man who will do this thing for them. They came and met the woman and said, all right, where's your own portion? She said, no, she doesn't contribute money for such things. That it is the name of Jesus that does everything. And that they should hear, in the name of Jesus, no birds will go to her farm. And the villagers testified. They did everything they had to do. Assuming her farm was number F on the block, the birds will eat on plot A, plot B, plot C, plus D, plus E. They get to F. They will jump over F and go to G. When they are done, they will jump back again. She was not the one that testified, though. It's the villagers that came and testified. Everything you told the woman, she told you, hey, that's not a problem. The name of Jesus does everything. Yes, sir. Those who spoke too much English didn't understand that portion of it. So it's the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we do this. We activate our spirit to be able to receive from God when we begin to study. If you're ready, want to let us go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Understanding is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Revelation will come to you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom, which is the ability to apply a specific word into the area in which you need it, will come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Please take your seats. Let's get into our study for today. All right, true service of God. That's what we have been looking at for the last many weeks. Today is like the 16th. Day on that subject, true service of God. And I want to continue again on it today. We are coming to a close. I think by next week we should be done with it. And last time we began to study specifically about how to give our service to God. And I remember I explained that that's a very important matter for us in today's Christianity because you hear a lot of it being taught. And it's a very popular subject simply because now, this is what I want to say is bad, but I have to say it, okay? Simply because many people came into ministry just to go and to come and collect money. For that reason, they focus a lot on it. They do. Like I said the other time, if you find out that they start persecuting Christians again, maybe the number of false pastors will reduce, okay? But for now, we have to deal with a lot of it. So for that reason, people hear a lot of negative things. And the only way you can correct what is wrong is to teach what is true. You cannot correct what is wrong by every time going attacking that which is wrong. All right? You don't do that. What you do is that you teach people the truth. If they know the truth, it will be difficult for them to be, you know, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So that's what we need to do. We need to spend time again, okay, to teach people how do you give as a way of working for God so that they will know the right thing to do. Because many people, they have been taken advantage of. They have a good heart. They want to do what is right, but they don't know how to do it because nobody has taught them the proper way. And those who are teaching them the wrong things are saying them so emphatically that it's causing confusion for them. So we have a duty to teach what is right. So that's what we've been looking at. So last time I explained, let me just review for a few moments the things that are most important concerning that matter. One, I said motive counts with God. I talked about it extensively last time. I'm just going to say it briefly. Your motive counts with God. There are motives for giving that people have, which you have to be careful as Christians not to participate in. These are the ones that are wrong. Number one, giving so that you can pay off for your sins is wrong. God does not accept those sacrifices. You can't do that. If you are giving to God, it's for a different reason. I said that sacrifices can be unacceptable to God. The Bible says that God, as for Cain and his sacrifice, God did not accept. It was not pleasing to God. So we know that. So if you are giving because you want to pay off your sins, it is not acceptable. That's one. Number two, giving so as to attain righteousness. What I mean is that when I finish giving, God will look at me and know I'm a good child. Again, that is not acceptable to God. The one that is very popular, I wanted to leave it till last, but that's the next thing I have to say. And that is giving so that you can prosper. Again, that is not acceptable. I know that people hear so much of it and they think it's a normal thing, but it is not. As Christians, we don't give so we can prosper. Our prosperity is based upon what Jesus did. What people prosper, if you read through the scriptures, because of a walk with God. Walk before me and be perfect and I will bless you. In all that he does, he prospers. How? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. That's how it is. That's the principle behind that. So let's bear it in mind. We don't give an offering because we want to get back. Please, this is so important, I say it. Because it's very common with Christians. If they want a million, they give 1,000. If they want it more, they give some more. And people say that, listen, when you give, be sure that you produce. One man was preaching. He said, anytime he gives, start watching out for the harvest. That's not Christianity. Forget that thing. I don't care who it is that's preaching it. It is not Christianity. Stop wasting your money. Stop wasting your time. All right? If you want to be a giver, be a giver. I said these are the reasons that Christians give. Number one, because God has given to them. That's one. He gave us first before we can give back to him. We don't give him so he can give back to us. No, he gave us. That's why we can give to him. Go and read what Paul said in that Romans chapter 8 when he was explaining it. He made it very clear that we love because he loved us first. And he now said that if he freely gave us his only begotten son when we're yet sinners, how much more will he freely with him give us other things? Let's bear it in mind, okay? Why do we give as Christians? One, he has given to us. Two, we love God. Love is the fundamental basis for everything that we are doing. We said another thing, just to add to it, we are givers. Is a nature. He said, be perfect as your heavenly father is perfect. We know our heavenly father is a giver. He's a giver. That's what he is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's his nature. And if we are like our heavenly father, we will be givers exactly like him. These are the reasons why Christians give. We do not give because listen, they're very important. Our motive comes with God. It comes. Let me say something I said the other time, just to repeat again for emphasis. And that's the fact that, listen, in life, there are fields. There are force fields. What I mean by force fields is this. If I want to sow corn, or cowpeas, what you call beans, you know, stuff like that, or cassava, or whatever I want to sow, I don't sow it in a church. I don't sow it in the bank. Where do I sow it? On the farm, on the soil. It must enter into the soil. The soil is his field. If I want to multiply money, the field for multiplying money is business, banking, investments. That is a field. So if you say this 1,000 naira, how can we make it 10,000? We say, okay, let us go and be idiots and join MMM Nigeria. Are you getting my point? We can do that one. But at least they are dealing in what? In money. Okay? So we can do that. But then we can become more reasonable and say, okay, let us go to Onitsha and buy, let's go to somewhere, go and buy garri from the villages, bring to town and sell. And then we make a profit. We go back, buy more garri. See, we are doing business now. We are doing business. Hopefully, if God prospers it, after a while, the money will no longer be 1,000. It will now become 10,000. That's how you sow money. Now, when you want to now sow in spiritual realm, now that's the point. The seed in the spiritual realm is spiritual. You can't sow money into the spiritual realm and say it will multiply. That is a joke. It's very popular in Christianity, but it's a joke. What you sow in the realm of the spirit, it must be spiritual. And Jesus said it, he that shows mercy will obtain mercy. Mercy is spiritual. Are you getting my point here? Listen, it's a spiritual thing. Okay? He that honors me, he said, I will honor. That's a seed. That's a seed. You are getting my point here. Now, this is the truth about it. Those intangible spiritual things that want to sow into the realm of the spirit, they always wear a cloak. You get my point? For God so loved, love, all right, is intangible. But how did we see the love? We saw his only begotten son who came and died for us. He didn't just pay lip service to his love. He demonstrated something tangible with his love. You get my point? But the real thing was what? His love. For that reason, if I say I love somebody, there is a tangible way it will express itself. If I say I'm honoring somebody, there is a tangible way it will express itself. For that reason, now we're talking about giving now, so let me stay on it. So when I am giving, therefore, when I'm giving, it is not the money that's entering the realm of the spirit, it is the spirit behind it. It is the motivation behind it. And God said, we're reading last time from Jeremiah chapter 17, he said, I, the Lord, I check those things before I reward you. So let nobody tell you just giving. God doesn't see money. He sees why. He sees the state of your heart. He said, as for Cain and his sacrifice, God was not well-pleasing. Are you getting my point here? He was not well-pleased. He was not pleased with Cain and his sacrifice. That is, God looked at the heart of Cain, then looked at the sacrifice. Both of them, they go together. So when God looks at your heart and he says, I need money, let me give. God said, listen, you are not giving. You are trying to manipulate me. And like I said the other time, God is not a principle. He's a person. God is not a principle. He's not a computer. He's not somebody, if you press appropriately, he will respond predictably. That's not it. That's not what God is. God is a person. This is very important. When you come to him, he can see your heart. If you say, Lord, take. Human beings may not be able to see, but he is seen beyond your fist, he is seen beyond your hand, he is seen beyond your shoulders, he has opened your chest, he's looking into your heart, he's seen what you are saying. If you are saying, I need a million, that's why I brought this 10,000, he will just push your hand and say, why don't you just ask for a million? I was teaching my wife today, I said, God does not make deals. God does not negotiate. Forget those things, you know, when we're children, we learned a lot of funny things. Let me tell you the truth, God does not make deals. He does not negotiate. You obey him. That is the beginning and the end. He doesn't make deals. You know what I'm going to do? Every morning I'm going to wake up by 5 a.m. and pray till 7 and you will bless me. God says, okay, I don't like the deal. Go. People don't know that. You think because you opened your mouth and said, God must agree. Some of these deals we make, who told you that he accepted? I've told God though. I said, did you bother to listen to what he said when you finished talking? I've heard people say that, look, I've told God I'll be sowing like this every month. And I know by the end of the year, he will bless me. But God's okay, I don't like the deal. You know, I've been thinking about it. When it comes to sacrifices, I found out God, many of things read the Bible, read it properly. There are things people do and God didn't like. You know, I thought about Jephthah. You know Jephthah that sacrificed his daughter? I tried to think about it. God never accepted that sacrifice. He woke up by himself, made a stupid vow. Let me tell you the best vow to make to God. Say, God, if you do this, I will worship. Just leave it like that. Be promising things that you will not be able to do. You are just begging for trouble. God never asks Jephthah. The first thing that comes, you offer to me. He had told everybody the kind of sacrifices he liked. He had told them, time of Passover, this is my sacrifice. This is my trespass offering. These are my things. If you have an animal that delivers and is a male and is a first child, that's my own. He had quantified everything for them. All this giving God surprises. I keep on saying, God is not your wife. It's his birthday. Let me do a surprise party for him. He does not attend surprise parties organized for him. He doesn't like it. You must do things according to the prescribed order. I found out that God did not accept the sacrifice of Jephthah. Do you know how I found out? I read through the Bible. God didn't like human sacrifices. And I finally found out why, just a few days ago. You know why? They are always polluted. They are sinners. That's why he never accepted any human sacrifice. If he had killed Isaac, God would not have taken. Why? He was human. He was a sinner. Polluted blood, God doesn't take. That's why I expected the blood of animals. They don't, they can't sin. Listen, that's why he took it like that. Isaac's one was a test. Now, what am I going to say? So you see, God, you don't just decide for him what you want to do. He has his prescribed order. So when Jephthah got up and decided that this is how I want to do it, I said, God doesn't make deals. If you see in the Bible, like it looked like he made a deal. He did not make a deal with anybody. All right? The only thing that may look like a deal, he initiates it. You don't come up to him with a deal. You know, my wife and I were talking yesterday night. We were talking about Hannah. Hannah is one woman that has been thoroughly misunderstood. So she promised God a son, then God gave that she'll give it back to him, and then God just started blessing her as a result. I read my Bible very well. I don't have time to talk about it, but I'll just drop something for you. When Hannah went in there, I am sure of one thing. She just connected with God. She was not making a deal with God. What am I going to say? Hannah was there. She was desperate. And then at a point, you see, look through the scriptures. You see there were a number of men, all right, that were born in a very interesting way. Their births were announced to the parents ahead of time. John, Jesus, Samson, Moses, I believe, and Samuel also. When Anna entered into the temple, that was the when, as she was praying, the Holy Spirit revealed to her, oh, please, listen to what I'm saying. Look, this is the truth. The Holy Spirit reveals to her, and she echoed the voice of the Holy Spirit, that you will have a son, and you will give him back to the Lord. It was not her promise. Because you will understand something. God already told them, all your firstborn sons are mine. What was new that you're telling me I'll give to the Lord? The Lord had claimed him before. It was while she was praying that the Holy Spirit helped her to understand that the Lord has answered your prayer. Now you are going to have a son, and that son will be a prophet. Let me tell you the truth. That was what happened with Hannah. That's how you don't find people going through the scriptures. Listen, he said, it's when you make a vow. Listen, Manoah's wife was also barren. When the Lord just told them, the way you're going to have a son, that was Samson. Same thing with Elizabeth. I'm not emphasizing something here. Please don't come and start making deals with God. You've made many. You've seen that's not worked. You promised God wants to give me that car. I'll be carrying preachers all over town. It's been 6 years now. He hasn't answered you. He hasn't answered. You know why? He doesn't make deals. People don't get it. I pray you'll get it. He answers his children. That's what he does. You make your request to him. You don't make a deal. Then you go ahead and you start obeying him. And you obey him whether there's a promise attached or there's no promise attached. Obedience is constant. It's part of your life. You don't do things for God and say, listen, for this one you have done, you do this one back to me. I've seen people preach before, say, as you are doing, be telling God, see you, because I'm not looking. Is it false? What is it that you want that Jesus hasn't paid for? What is it that you want that I have not yet promised? Please get used to just obeying me and leave it there. Please, I hope this, what I'm saying is very clear. Listen, you don't just wake up and just tell God, say, okay, I'm going to do it like this, you will respond like this. God just says, okay, I don't like that agreement. Better go and find out that what I have said. This is how you get things done in your life. Listen, as a believer, activate promises. What did I say?
Activate promises.
Say louder.
Activate promises.
Thank you. Activate promises. He has said something about everything in your life. About your health, he has said something. He doesn't need your seed. He has said something. The Bible says the seed is the word of God. He has said something. About your prosperity, he has said something. About long life, he has said something. About fulfillment of your destiny, he has said something. About your having a wife or a husband, he has said something. About childbearing, he has said something. He has said something about everything in your life. About safety, he has said something. And all his promises are activated how? By faith. They are activated by faith. Every word of faith you find inside the scripture has its own responsibilities. Just put those things together, all right? Obey them, and you are fine. Anything you want in life, please, I'm begging you today, don't Jephthahize your life. Listen, Jephthah did not know things would go like that. And I believe that God put him there for us so that we will learn a lesson. After activating promises, what do? The other part of your life is you are faithful in everything. We said the other day, there are two sides to life. In fact, the two people that caused the problem, they are here. The two apostles, on radio. They went on, people were fighting you people. That when you said we are servants or slaves, and people said, no, we are sons. I said, what is all of this? He said, we are not sons, we are not slaves, we are sons. Listen, don't let anybody deceive you. You are a slave of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul introduced. I don't know for people. What is no? When people are generally, they don't want to be responsible. Raising shoulder, pride. I'm a son, not a slave. We read all the scriptures that day. I must have read more. How many did I read that day? Because I kept on reading different ones, different translations. Paul, a born slave of Christ Jesus. Peter called himself that. James called himself that. They all called himself that. Who's this modern 2016 Christian? He's afraid to be a slave of Christ. The problem is that Christians don't understand is that you can be a son and a slave at the same time. There are two types of sons we saw. There are seven sons and there are prodigal sons. And life is like that. It's automatic. If you are not a serving son, you will be prodigal. There's no third option. What is a serving son? Somebody who understands that I have my privileges as a child, I know. As a child in the home, as a heir of God, I have my privileges. However, at the same time, I have my responsibilities. And when it comes to working for my father, I don't differ from the servants. That's what he said. And that was why the elder brother of the prodigal son said, all these days have I served you. Neither did I ever transgress any of your commandments. That was the serving son. Paul said concerning Timothy, he has served with me in the course of this gospel as a son serving his father. Go and see what God said in Malachi. He said, I will spare them like a man spares his own son that serves him. Not just all his children, the one that serves him. That's what he said. The child of God that holds on to, I'm a son, I'm a son, I'm a son, is incomplete. It's not even half complete. Less than half complete. The completeness of your existence is not that you're a son of God. No. It is that you are a born servant of Christ at the same time. A slave. And that's why Paul described himself. Paul never came and said, Paul, a son of God. There are words you'd never heard Paul use. There are words we carry around, it almost becomes pride. You didn't say Paul get up and start bragging on his sonship. He bragged every time on the fact that he was a born servant of Christ. He would tell you, none of these things move me. Neither did I count my life as dear unto myself. Why? I want to fulfill the assignment that God gave me in this life. That's how servants think. Now, why are I going to do that again? Everything you need in life, God has supplied as a son. But he has also given you responsibilities as a servant. And listen to me, I'm giving you the word of God. He forbids you from using your performed duties as a servant to claim rights in his presence. He doesn't allow that. So this is how good servants behave. They say, we are unworthy servants, unprofitable, I want to say. King James said, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which we are supposed to do. The word unprofitable doesn't mean we are useless. It just means that there is no profit for us in what we have done. I have only done what I'm supposed to do. So what if you need something? You look for the promises that he has given to children. You need healing. Healing, we know, is the children's bread. You don't mix the two. You don't come and say, Lord, I was amongst those who broke ground when we went to that remote village for evangelism. So God said, okay, I've heard. So, for that reason, find me small money there. They will find you small flogging there. When you come and talk about your work in evangelism, you will say, Lord, it was great. Do you have other villages you want us to go to? That's where the discussion ends. Go and look at what happened. That's how the disciples came. They said, it was good though. Demons were flying out. Man, I laid hands on one guy. His migraine of 15 years disappeared. I felt it in my hand. Lord, is that how you feel when you are praying for people? He said, Lord, hey, so we are finished with Judea. Where else? We're thinking of, should we start moving to Samaria? He said, no, not yet for Samaria. Where else? He said, come aside and rest for a while. They were ready to move. You are getting my principle here. Yes. They were ready to move. So if you have ever to go to the Lord to say, I have done something, you are careful to end with, Lord, I hope we did it well. Is there another thing you want us to do? So you give an offering, 50,000 naira. Say, Lord, thank you. I saw when I give them that money, I saw the joy on their faces. Lord, it is good to be useful. And the money I have still remains 900. Is there anybody else you would like me to give to? Don't follow this lie that we preach in today's Christianity. You will now say, God, as I give you the 50,000, I claim right now. Because they claim, are they here? I claim 500,000. If God wants to disgrace, you know what he will do? He will, one stingy brother in church will stand beside you and say, Father God, can I have 10 million? And God will give him. Say, Lord, he didn't sow a seed. Say, I don't need the seed like that. The seed is the word of God. He read the Bible yesterday. And I stirred up faith in his heart that said, whatever you require, just ask the Lord in my name. And he came in the name of Jesus. See, I've given him. Say, Lord, I only ask you to multiply my seed tenfold. You know, one drops. No, you don't do the Lord like that. You don't. When you have done something, you come to him and said, we are unprofitable servants. Unprofitable doesn't mean you are useless. It means that what I did is not for my personal profit. Listen, I want to dare somebody here. Tomorrow, give 3 times what you have ever given before. Whatever. We won't be open tomorrow, so I'm not raising offering here, as you can see. Tomorrow, give 3 times what you have ever given. And say to the Lord, thank you for that privilege. It feels good. I want to say another one that excites somebody. End of this month, see it's November. So the first week of December. Collect your salary. And spend everything buying Christmas gifts for people. Go through this Christmas broke. Yes. You go hungry a bit and say, Lord, so nice to be hungry for you. So, Lord, I'm not claiming anything. I just want to show that I can do it. Thank you for the grace to do it. And please don't expect any miracle. I forbid you from expecting a miracle. Because I want us to forget this investment mentality. Let's derive joy in serving God. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's derive joy. I told you once, a brother came to me after a church service. He said, sir, I want to ask you a question. He said, this is, I've noticed that when I give, yeah, let me teach, I get happy, I'm excited. He said, am I all right? Yeah, he wanted to know. So I said, let me ask you a few questions. Do you brag about it to anybody? He said, no. Do you go to God to make claims based on what you have done? He said, no. I shook his hand and said, congratulations, you just got saved. I said, now you're a child of God. That the doing of good excites you. You are into the kingdom. Don't let anybody tell you, once you give, you start watering your seed with your words. In the name of Jesus, it's producing harvest for me. He did it. It was dead when you sowed it. Don't lie. This real seed, I told you, is what? The word of God. That's what Jesus said. Let's never forget it. As believers, there are 2 sides to our lives. There is a sonship side. On that sonship side, we claim anything. Normally, in that one, we claim what we did not work for. We claim what Jesus worked for. You didn't work for your salvation, you claim it. Did you work for your salvation? By grace, you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. That's sonship. You don't work for your healing, you claim it. I want to digress. So. What did I say? Master digressor, he has come again. You know, I'm trying to help the people of God. Don't claim your healing on any other basis than what Jesus has done. Don't say, Lord, now that I have been jogging, my heart will be fit. I've told you, men have died jogging. Athletes have collapsed on the field and they were buried. It was not joke, not demo. Now that I have lost weight, I will be fit. What I want to say to you now will excite some of you. You will laugh, not amuse you. This man has come again. You know, let me give you my credentials. For years, I said cholesterol is a lie, right? Though it's cholesterol. This year, the Lord was vindicated in my life. There's a new one I found out today. Actually, I heard it some time ago. One of our brothers here forwarded something to me today. There's what they call the obesity paradox. It's been found out now that people who are slightly overweight are actually healthier than slim people. She have been warning you people. She have been warning you. I learned that expression, I think, yesterday, today. I laughed. This is research going on. They have checked, they found out that leopard does not improve your life. If you are a leopard by nature, by faith, the faith will bless you. The leopard is not any advantage to your soul. Okay, Nano? Listen, I know what I'm telling you. All this aggression, you see them around the parade square. I'll be laughing. I said, this one has not prayed this morning. He's joking. This one has not fasted. He's joking. This one has not blessed the Lord. He's joking. I want to live long. God said, get away from there. If you want to live long, kneel down. Let's talk. Listen, you don't go to God. I said, oh, you're making claims? It's purely what Christ did. And that's the most important message I have for this season. Let's remember our Christ again. You don't add anything to him. Just come to him. Lord, be merciful to me. I have been saved by grace. I was a sinner. That is, there's nothing I've done that deserves anything. You know, Jesus died. Is that not so? You are the one that sent him, not me. Now that he has died for me, all the things that he said I can have, can I have them? Almost with a little bit of arrogance. I'm telling you. That is like, I know it's not me. It's you. I came to collect what you offered. I'm here. The one is walking time, we walk and don't demand anything. If God says, sell all you have and give to the poor, there's no guarantee he will multiply it. Let me emphasize this again. The principle of sowing and reaping, I think I need to emphasize that, is a law of life. It's a law of life. We just need to know how to sow the right seeds and into which areas. And like I said to us before, listen, when we sow into the realm of the spirit, we sow spiritual seeds. When God wants to produce a harvest, he decides how he wants to do it. It's not yours to decide. You cannot predict what he will use to reward you. A woman took care of a prophet. She showed honor. She didn't sow a house or a room. She showed honor. He said, I perceive there's a holy man of God that's passing by us here every day. To the husband, let's set up a small guest room for him. He doesn't have to look for a hotel anytime he comes to town. When he comes, he'll stay here, take his meals here. This woman so honored Elisha. Elisha said, what can we do for her? To let you know that she was not expecting anything, she came to him and said, nothing. That woman served Elisha, expecting nothing in return. The man said, let's use our political connections. Prophets have been very, very influential people for a long time. Should we talk to the captain of the host? He said, I live amongst my people. What do you want? I want nothing. I did what I did because I recognize that your God is a true God, that you're a true prophet of the true God. That's all. Then she left. It was the prophet's servant that now pointed out that she doesn't have a son. And the prophet said, oh, that's my specialty. Call her back here. If we're even talking about seed and reaping, what she sowed was honor. And then God honored her in return. You can't sow dollar and expect to reap dollar. You can sow dollar and reap poverty. Yeah. I've said before, I believe the time has come that God will stop all this nonsense insulting of his name. He's tired of it. I'm speaking like a prophetic person there. Next time people harass him anyhow, he will disgrace him. God doesn't just play, he doesn't joke. Oh. He told Jeremiah, when they scare you, if you run, I will destroy you. That's what he told Jeremiah. So when they tell him that we are going to deal with you next time you come here, better go back there. Yeah, that's what he told Jeremiah. I have put my word on your lips. He said, I've made your face strong. Your head, I've made it hard. So don't be afraid of them. Otherwise, I will disgrace you before them. That's what he told Jeremiah. I think the time has come now when we make stupid promises in his name, he will make sure that both the promiser and the promisee are disappointed. The story I've told here many times, a brother wrote us a mail. He was thoroughly confused. What was his confusion? He had done everything they told him to do so he can get the new job he wants. He had sown his seed, wrapped his seed with a mantle and anointed it and did everything. The day the result for the new job he was looking for came out was the day he lost the old one he had. He didn't get the new one. He lost both ways. That's when he wrote. He said, what will I do? We replied him and said, you see, God has now saved you. He has delivered you from wrong doctrines. If he had given you what you were asking for, you would have said, I got this by the strength of my principles for the glory of my knowledge. Yeah, that's Nebuchadnezzar's spirit. To the ones I was somewhere, one brother was saying that his business, people are wondering how he's doing it. He said, they don't understand the principle of covenant. I said, which covenant did you make? He said, I bought a keyboard for a church. And when they are playing it, will be sounding in his name. I'm not joking. I looked at him. I didn't know how to tell him that you are very, very foolish. Oh, foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you to think that playing keyboard in a church is producing results in your life? Enough of that nonsense. It's enough. We want from God, we claim as children of God. We come and say, Jesus died for us. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus. He was rich. Yet for our sake, he became what? Poor. That we, through his poverty, might be made rich. We are rich not because of what we did, but because of what he did. But anytime we are doing in life, we are doing because we are born servants of Christ. He said he died for all, so that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. When we are living for him. That's what we are talking about. So that's what we're looking at. So, I just need to go over that again. So as believers, our giving is for a very, very different reason. We give, like I said, let me go over it again. Giving is our nature. It's a sign of our faith. A cheerful giver, please go and read my tract, Cheerful Giver. A cheerful giver is a person who does not hold on to money, but knows that my future, my destiny, my supplies is in God. All these things are in God. It's not based on what I have. It's a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I know my supply is from every word. So if demand is made of the cash in my hand, I'm not afraid to release it. That's a cheerful giver. I'm not afraid to release the cash. Why? My destiny, my supplies, these things are not dependent of my cash. That's what God is teaching Christians. That's why they are cheerful as givers. That's why we give. We give because we love God, which is faith in him anyway. We give simply because we love the places we are supposed to give to. Like I was saying last time, if you claim to love the gospel and you are not giving towards the propagation of the gospel, you are lying. I meant that lying thing, no. It's a lie. It's not possible to love without giving. That's how it is. So, that's it. That's why we give. We truly love. We truly love. So we give. Loving is part of us. So giving is an expression of our love. That is why you cannot give because you want to get. Otherwise, that wouldn't be love. That would be selfishness. The seed that is behind the substance in that situation is selfishness. It's not the spirit of love. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, walk by the spirit of love and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I know he said that because you read that whole book of Galatians. He first explained to them, love is the basis of the whole law. He now said, walk by the spirit. He was speaking specifically about the spirit behind the law. And he says, love. That's why we give. We don't give because of ourselves. We give because of the person we are giving to. We give because of the cause we are giving to. If we have needs, we ask him in faith. Please, I need to dwell on this some more. The Father said, Jesus was speaking. He said, ask the Father in my name. Let's talk about the meaning of asking in somebody's name. In his name means the basis of your approach is me. Ask the Father on the basis of my person, not on the basis of your work. Anytime we go to God and we are having something in our minds, which is what we have done, we are taking from the name of Jesus. We are removing from the name of Jesus. If we have something else in our mind, apart from what he did, in this season, Christ must be magnified again. Amen. He must be magnified. Amen. In churches, we have taken too much of him away. We have magnified principles. We have magnified principles too much. God is a person. The approach to him is called Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Never forget it. So when I'm looking at this, what I intend to go into, all right, is where do we give and we say we are giving to God? Very important. Let's read the scriptures, then I will revise that and then we'll pick it up from there. Matthew chapter 25. Let's just take this like our text for today. Matthew chapter 25. Let's start from 31. I will rush so as to get to the place I really want. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen to this. Please, I want you to follow this very closely. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now let's notice. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we do all of these things? Let me just jump to verse 40. The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Let me stop here. If you read verse 41 and below, and further down, he just reversed this same thing. He said, you did not do these things. Then I said, when did we see you and we refused to do these things to you? And he said, it was not me you thought you were doing these things to. It was the least of my brethren. Now, what I want to bring up from there, you will notice that the people that did the things that mattered did not know when they did them. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
The people that did the things that mattered did not know when they did them. And the people that did the things that were evil did not even know when they did them too. Listen, let's digress again. Make the doing of good a habit. You don't know when it's being counted. I am certain of what I want to say. Once you deliberately give an offering for a purpose, it cannot count. It will defeat the scripture. You will make the word of God of no effect. The things that count, people who do them don't know when they are doing them. Why did I read this? Last time I said something. When I'm giving, how do I give to God? The common mindset is, which we pastors often preach, it's unfortunate because it's not correct. We make it appear as if when you want to give to God, it has to be church, offering basket, ministry, stuff like that, or man of God. Now let me quickly say this. Those things are correct. But that's not the whole. That's just a part. That's what I want to first establish. I am not saying don't give offering in church. I'm not saying don't give to ministries. I do all of these things because they are right. But I want to emphasize to Christians that they must not be hypocrites. That's what I want to emphasize. It is idolatry if we think that's just the one that God counts. I read this to let us know that the Lord that we are serving, many times we encounter him, we don't even know we encountered him. You know, on social media, these days, a lot of things fly around. One of the things that I read the other day, I mean, it's so beautiful, all right? It's on my phone, but I don't have the phone here. They say a woman received a letter from the Lord. and said, I will be visiting you, let's say, tomorrow 20th, I'll be visiting you. So the woman said, wow, the Lord is coming. So she ran to go and prepare to receive the Lord. Let me go and prepare something. And it was a cold day. So she wore her coat and ran to the market to go and buy things. The Lord left a note for her. So on her way back home, had her groceries, a little bit of money. It was a cold day. She saw a man and his wife. And they asked her, please, whether she could help. She said, let me just get the meat of the story. I can't remember the details. But she had a bit of money with her, a bit of stuff, maybe things she had bought. And explained to the man, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. I'm expecting the Lord tomorrow, and I'm spending all the money I have to take care of him. But as she was leaving, something had just said, Kai, but this man looks stranded. He needs money. So the money she wanted to go and use to buy stuff for the Lord, she gave him most of it. And then look at the woman that was nearby. I said, who is that? I said, that's my wife. She's kind of cold. Ah! And the woman said, she's cold. It's quite cold though. And she remembered that she had another coat at home. So she removed the one she was wearing and gave to the woman. Now she had only little money to shop for the Lord. So she did little shopping she could and went back home. Next day, waiting for the Lord didn't show up. She saw another note. And the Lord said, it was nice meeting you again. Thank you for the money. And that coat was very helpful. Did you get the gist? Thank you for the money. And that coat was very helpful. That is, the Lord just disguised himself as two people. So she gave the Lord money and gave the Lord a coat. And went back home to wait for the Lord. Are you getting the point? That is a lesson of life. When Abraham entertained him unawares with two angels, it was unawares. He did not know. That tells me that most of the ones we do, I'm not saying they are bad, but if it's not our habit, those targeted ones we do, I need a miracle. Let me sow into the life of a man of God. Waste of money. I shouldn't be the one saying, you know, I'm a man of God. Offerings taste very nice. In fact, let me tell you the truth. Apostle, why are you laughing? You know, you're a man of God. When you're a preacher, let me tell you the truth. Offerings taste differently. He has a different taste. If I work hard, I get to do a job and all of that, and they pay me, and I get a million, as an example. It's nice, amen?
Amen.
But as a preacher, if somebody you bless give you 10,000 naira, it tastes differently. There was a time I told my wife, if they give me drink, nobody should open it before I get there. If you not want drink, go buy. But if they say, man of God, this is one pack of juice for you, I want to personally sanctify that juice and drink the first fruit of it. You know when I told you in your house one time, told your wife, say, hey, all this basket I bring up, don't touch anything until I arrive. No, there's something about it. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you just feel loved. You feel appreciated. That's something about it. So I'm not saying it's bad. It's very, very good. But I'm just telling Christians, be careful. Be careful. Don't make that thing an idolatrous matter. Don't give to the man of God when you have not given to a hungry friend. And you think you will be blessed. You will not be blessed. Let's get it clear. Your father can't be swearing for you every day. You know, pidgin English. They swear for you. Say, this is my son. It don't go better for him. And then you come and give offering to me. You think I can revoke the blessing. I can't. I can revoke the curse. I can't. I don't have enough power for that. You join everything together. I'll talk about it as well. Go know if I can get it today. How to apportion money. Because if you're not a regular giver, if giving is not a habit, you now come to give to a man of God, a pastor, a prophet. Think you reap something. Know the truth, you won't reap anything. You are an idolater. You must first be a giver before your giving counts. Did you hear that? He said, as for Cain and his offering, God accepted Abel and his offering. It is the man that is accepted first before the gifts that he brings. That's why Christians, make sure you are a giver. Giver is a thing you become. Giver is not what you do, it's what you are. Giving is the product of being a giver. But you can copy the acts of giving without being a giver. And many Christians today have copied the acts of giving. They are not givers. Like I say all the time, when my children were all small, I don't try that anymore. But those days, I could kneel down. My wife would testify, you know, in the house, the children would climb my back and I'll be walking, all fours. And they'll be laughing and climbing the back. Can you please don't climb my back? Oh. It's too late for that now. The boy is almost, he's taller than me. He weighs almost as much as I do. Don't climb my back. Gone are the days I used to carry them up to do my upper body building. Now if I carry, I can look up. Now me go down. Now what I'm trying to say is that those days I used to walk on fours. But does that make me a donkey? I'm not a donkey. I can walk on fours. And children will climb my back. And we'll be laughing all over the house. And I'll be walking. But that doesn't make me a donkey. So like somebody said, it's a rap music, all right? What's his name? Michael Peace. He said, just because you go to church does not make you a Christian. Just like being a cow doesn't make you a chicken. Being a garage doesn't make you a car. You can be confused and don't know who you are. That's what he said. That's the line. In the same manner, just because you give does not make you a giver. Yeah, no, the fact that you give does not make you a giver. Anybody who's giving because of what he or she's going to get is not a giver. You are just seeing the giving side. The person is not yet a giver. Please, I'm emphasizing something here. So what is safe for you as a believer is make sure you're a giver. What is it about a giver? A giver gives anytime the opportunity to give comes. He doesn't give only when he sees the man of God. Are you getting my point here? When he sees the man of God and he needs to give, he goes ahead and gives. When he sees the work of the ministry and there's need to give, she goes ahead and gives. But then, that's what we're talking about. There are also other areas. A giver handles every area and does not have a mind locked on, let me do the one that God sees. Because God sees everyone. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's what we read that portion. That the time that they did those things, they did not know they were doing it. That is the ones that the Lord himself, they did for him directly. He wasn't even much noticing it. It's the one that they did, not knowing they were doing for the Lord, that the Lord was counting. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Very important. How do we give to God? I mean, where do we give to God? I need to emphasize that first. So we've talked about, of course, the obvious ones. Very importantly, for the preaching of the gospel, I always say this, Christians are not going to go anywhere else. Pastors will not go anywhere else. Evangelists will not go anywhere else to go and look for money. They are not, it is forbidden that they go to the bank to go and borrow money. You want to do evangelism, you ask for guaranteed trust loan. It's supposed to sound funny. Can you tell them the truth that you want to do evangelism? In fact, they'll just know that this one, you're a fraudulent pastor. As I did, you'll be raising an offering to pay bank loan. Of course, you're not going to do that. Even though Alhaji Aliko Dangote is the richest Nigerian, we will not go to him and say, sir, we want to preach. Did he tell you he was a Christian? What's his title?
Alhaji.
Which church is that? It's not a Christian, so we won't go to him. We will not go to him. When it comes to the preaching of the gospel, we are the ones that have the commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is, we know, going is not free. It was not free that time. It's not free now. You want to go on radio? It costs money. You want to go on television? It costs money. You want to go with megaphone and drive by the roadside? It costs money. Whatever go you want to do is expensive. One day they were talking to Benny Hinn. It was on Larry King Live years ago. So they asked Benny, so people were now calling in. He said, one woman called. Short question, I remember very well. She said, Jesus never used to ask for money. Why do you? I like the answer he gave. He said, Jesus never had to pay for Madison Square Garden. I like that answer. And he told them straight. He said, when I hire Madison Square Garden for a crusade, I pay, these were his words, I pay the same amount of money as Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson charges gate fees, I don't. He said to them straight, I watched that program that day. He said, I pay the same as MJ, he charges gate fees, I don't. So I have to ask for money. My own money comes free will offering. Now, please get me, all right? I'm not trying to say I agree with all the methods that my brethren use. I'm not saying that. But the need is real. I'm not teaching today now specifically on how to give to the work of ministry. But I just want to say, so we know it is the work of God because we are obeying the commandment of God when we give to the work of ministry. That's certain. So that's one. When we give to the work of ministry, we are giving to God. I'll go into detail about all of this, but let me just run through all of them. Two, we talked about Elijah earlier. You know, God is interesting. The way you honor the word of God is in, there are many ways. But there are two basic ways I want to talk about. Two basic ways. You can't take your Bible and be bowing before it as honoring the word of God. Can you do that? You can't do that. Number one way you honor God's word is obey it entirely. Number two, you give honor to the people who carry and spread that word. That's it. You do. That's the second way by which you honor the word of God. Like I said, I'll talk about that in details later. The third way we said to give to God is that he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. He honors his maker. So don't forget that when we are giving to people who are in need, that's another way by which a Christian gives to God. Let me interrupt somewhere, please. I'll come back to this in a moment. There's something I wanted to emphasize as I was going on. Those of us who are used to this place, you know that in Kingdom World Ministries, I've explained this one again and again, we don't have offering time. And that's my point. Like, okay, now it's offering time, everybody get up, what did you bring for the Lord? I'm not saying it's bad though, that's it's bad. You say, why don't you do it? It's not because I don't need your money, that's not my reason. My reason is that giving to ministry should be more responsible than that. That's my reason. I need to explain that. The Bible says that each one is to give as he proposed in his heart. And I believe that Christians should get to that issue of proposing in their hearts. I don't believe you need to give offering every time you go to church. I've seen people say you can never appear before God empty-handed. That doctrine, I don't know where they read it from. It's not Bible. It's a wrong application of a rule of Judaism. The rule of Judaism is that there are festivals. Men, you don't come to the temple without your sacrifice in your hands. If it is Passover, how can you come without your one old lamb? That was a commandment. It's not the same that we'll practice now. You see why I'm saying that? For that reason, Christians have learned this habit of giving as if it's a joke. People want to give to ministry. You pay the same amount for gala. The same attitude. I'm sorry, that's my problem. That's my major reason I don't do offering times, blessing time. Offering time is a blessing time, we thank God. It's an investment time, like they add to it, we thank the Lord. Whatever you like, you call it. I just don't do it. Not because, like I said, it's not horrible in itself. I just think that Christians should be more mature than that. When money enters into your hand, you take your money and apportion appropriately. That's what I'm talking about. I don't see my children in the morning and say, children, how are you? Everybody take 10 naira, 20 naira, 15 naira. I don't do that. What do I do? It's the beginning of the school term session. My wife says, school fees time. In fact, I know it ahead. So when they say, okay, I will do it. I say, is that not the month of school fees? I say, I can't do that, I'm sorry. We know it ahead. It comes to good, sizable amount. Amen? Answer amen. Okay, many of you are not paying school fees. Those of you who are paying school fees, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. There are people who are praying that their younger brother will not get admission. It's not wickedness. No, it's not wickedness. Like they say, worry, that condition make refuge bend for back. It's not wickedness. So they know that if the guy gets admission, my stomach and my pocket will get recession. So they are trying to balance the two.
Like one man, the wife was in labor. The woman was shouting, please, oh, help. So neighbors came, what's the problem? The man said, please, his wife is in labor. Please, I beg, help me beg her to manage till tomorrow. True story, oh. Damage your whole land till tomorrow. A woman is in labor. And it wasn't joking. What I told you, a real story. This is why you could go enter labor at this time of the day. Say, I beg, help me beg her to just try and manage and hold it till tomorrow. So I can go out in the morning and look for some money. No, that was what happened. The person who salvaged the situation is his son that was telling us the story. The woman, I think, lived in the area anyway, an elderly woman. And I said, "Ma, what is it? They don't manage. The woman is in labor." So they carried the woman to the hospital, of course. The woman arrived around, gathered something just to help. Anyway, why am I talking about that? So we know these things are going to come up. So when it's getting to that session, what do? We prepare for it. We prepare for it. And I believe that's how Christians should give. That's just my own. Prepare also. Stop. You know, people say that should Christians, you can't give if you don't have. I agree. I know you can't borrow to give. I agree. But listen to me. If you borrow to spend, you had better borrow to give. I'm not saying you borrow to give. But many people borrow to spend. But when it's giving, they can't borrow. They want to buy a car. The bank is financing half of it. All their friends, they bought the other half. Then for the next 18 months, he's perpetually broke. He can't give. And I say, no, it's according to what a man has. But for goodness sake, you have. But you have invested everything in yourself. You now come to church and say, I gave 200. Look, my brother, I won't lie to you. That's all I have. Why won't it be all you have? You are owing all your friends, owing all the banks. So I tell Christians, listen, if you can borrow to buy a car, then one day you had better borrow also to do something massive for the kingdom of God. That's what I believe. That is what I believe. That's the reason why I don't do all this offering time thing. Because I believe Christians should propose in their hearts. It's not just for giving to ministry and to ministry and ministers of the gospel, no. Also for every other aspect. If you know that, listen, no, it is school fees time. Like I was saying earlier, your cousin who you are helping, your younger one who you are helping, they are going to start, they are going to go. I mean, these things sometimes they give notice. So. Your landlord gave you notice 12 months ago. I hope you know that. It's not when it's time to pay, you now start telling him stories. He gave you notice 12 months ago. His rent isn't start becoming due all of a sudden. Like the man that said, doesn't know what's going on these days. 24 hours, not the last again. He's suspecting the landlord. The man is winding forward the speed. The man didn't do that. In the same manner, your cousin that came to collect money for you from Jump, he doesn't have a father, you know. The mother is poor, you know that. And you gave him some money for Jump. When you were giving money for Jump, you were hoping it would fail. Now that he has passed, you're telling him congratulations, hanging the phone. Come on, don't be ridiculous. who else will pay the money? I will talk about that in detail in a moment, all right? But I just want to emphasize the fact that, listen to me, you propose, that's my emphasis. You propose, you plan for these things. That's why I don't enjoy offering time. I go to a church, I will give my offering once a month. I'm going to give you offering once a month. But when I do, it will be responsible. I won't even bring it to church this modern day. Why are you carrying cash to church? Does the bank not, church not have an account number? What are you doing with all this, your GT Bank app, Zenith Bank app, Access Bank app? You should have coded your church or ministry, whatever you are giving to, one of your, what they call them now, registered beneficiary. They should be a regularly registered beneficiary. And as soon as they pay the money, that's what God has helped us with in my family. At the end of the month, when most of my income comes in, that's when we do the major disbursing. At that point, I sit down. Each person has his own. In fact, I can almost automate it. Everybody, this is your... Psh, psh, psh. I can sit down for 30 minutes moving things. Moving things. Moving things. Yes. It's regular. Nobody needs to remind me or beg me. It's regular. So I can sit down there. You are doing offering time. I'm looking at you. You propose in your heart. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That's all this is my digression is to emphasize that thing. If you don't do it like that, you will never have to give. You won't have to give. If you plan very well, there are things you can't do for yourself. What I mean by that, you can't do is that the giving will have taken its portion. They now say the new phone has come out. Said the old one is still working. It's true. When they say the new one has come, I said the old one is still working. Thank you very much. And you are saying it because you know everything about scale of preference. You put things on their proper positions. This idea of new phone doesn't fit. You take the old one, buy new battery for it. You say, praise God. Hallelujah. Look at the phone. You enjoy it. Say, this phone, you will do the will of God. Amen. You prophesy over it. You shall not be stolen. This is your crash skin. We'll use cello tape. Are you getting my point? You won't crash. You won't crash. Not now. That's when your prophetic words will have effect. Because the Lord knows why you are prophesying. You pick the phone one day. It's taking time to boot. I speak to you. Boot! The phone will say, oh, guys, in now. First of all, before you play again. Yeah. The Lord is good. Please, my emphasis on that. We're talking about to work for God in giving. It's purposeful. We do that deliberately. Back to what I was saying originally. So, we said, of course, give to those who are in need. Then amongst that I talked about, okay, I forgot to mention, those who are supposed to honor. It's very important. You honor parents. This is not, like I've already removed preachers of the gospel into another category. When you give to people you are supposed to honor, it's part of giving to God. Let me just say something again. Please try and prioritize what is important in your life. What do I mean by that? A lot of young women, they finish school, they get their first job. And the first thing they are thinking about is not to buy a car. That's very irresponsible. You trek for the last 15 years. That's it, 15 years. 25 years you've been trekking, you're not dead yet. 2 extra years won't kill you. It won't. Unless that thing is important for productivity, please leave it for a while. What do I mean? It's time to start honoring people. You go back to your father, you go back to your mother, and honor them. Like I was saying earlier, I wasn't joking about it. If you're a preacher, offering tastes different. It tastes different. If I have an investment and they pay me 1 million naira dividends, it doesn't taste as sweet as when somebody puts 1,000 naira in your hand and says, sir, God bless you. There is something inside it. In the same manner, when you go home and say to your parents, that is Christmas, so it doesn't need anything, so you drag a cow to the house. That is what they call honor. It doesn't need anything. He has everything. It's Christmas. You stack 4 bags of rice there. You know he doesn't need it. That's what people don't understand. There are people you give to because they need. But when you are honoring somebody, it has nothing to do with need. Oh, no. Honor gifts are not linked to need. Go and read that Malachi. When God was speaking, he said, if I am a king, where is my honor? He said, if I'm a father, let me look at it. There are eternal principles listed there. I want to bring a principle for it, from it. God was talking about the offerings and sacrifices that he commanded them to give. But there was something he now said. Verse 6. He said, a son honors his father. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. A servant honors his master. He said, then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Is there? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? Let me just stop here. Why I read this is I wanted to just bring out something. He said, a son honors his father. If I am a father, where is my honor? When the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. When Jesus was going to interpret that, he linked it with giving to the father and the mother. I don't have time to be explaining it now. Gifts of honor are not gifts of need. It's important we get it clear. People often mix the two. So your father doesn't need what you have. It's the reason why he will die and you never honored him. It's not allowed. It's not allowed. Even if your father is Dangote, Christmas time, make a dress for him, make some material for him, let him wear it. And let him be able to say, yes, no, Steve gave me this one. Everybody knows he can buy 10,000. We know. But let him be able to say, Steve gave me this one. It's called honor. There's pride in it. Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
So, my father doesn't need my money. It's irrelevant. Gifts of honor are not dictated by need. When he broke the alabaster box of perfume on Jesus, what was he going to do with it? Judas, who thought everything should be the other way, said, Omo, see offering wasted. He said, why didn't you just sell this thing? It's not everything in life you sell, you do, you know, to get that kind of utility. No. When it comes to honoring people sometimes, it may appear even wasteful. That's a matter of fact. In fact, I'll get to it later. I said, you give to those who are in need. Don't forget the last one I said is you give to yourself. Periodically, you need to eat expensive food. It's not every day. Just wake up, just carry your wife. Say, we are going to eat Chinese today. You don't like Chinese food, though. I'm telling you, it's not like you. Look, the only reason why you're eating just want to waste is a waste. You know that? Some people say, if you give me this 15,000, I know what I will cook in the house. We know. It's just that it's the day of waste. I'm just watching my time. There are things we do for the Lord, and the only way it can be shown to us done for him is a waste that's involved. Not joking about it. Just for us to put things in proper perspective. Under the old covenant, I said, there's something I said before. When Jacob was going out, he made a vow to the Lord. Can you remember the vow? He said, the Lord blessed him. He will give him 10% of everything that God will bless him with. All right. There's a principle. There's a reason why he chose 10%. And just by the way, it's not because it's a tithe. Is because under their rules, that was how you honored people. That was the same reason Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek when he stumbled on Melchizedek on the way. All right? That's how he did it, okay? It's like a rite of passage through the land. That's how it was. But he made a vow to God, all right? Now, the question is, how did he pay it? Never forget. Let me tell you how he paid. The Bible didn't write it down, but we know the truth. We know how the word of God works. How did he pay it? When he came back, if he had 100,000 sheep, he took 10,000 sheep. He and his servants took a day and they slaughtered all of them, put them in a heap and burnt them to ashes. That was how he gave it to God. And the Lord smelt a sweet smelling savour in heaven. He wasted it. That's what the Bible calls a whole burnt offering. Whole burnt offering in the scriptures, you don't take anything, you burn it down to the bones. I preached a message before I titled The Priestly Corner of Life. What's the priestly corner of life? There are things that you do that, physically speaking, they are not reasonable. They are not productive. Like telling people to sit down at home a whole day for Israel. Don't farm their land for a whole year. You can try and explain the productivity behind it, but it's not necessarily so. Because Abraham did not obey that, yet he prospered. Jacob did not do it. Isaac did not do it. Men before them did not do it. So what was special about it? For them, it was a sacrament. It was sacramental. It was something they did as a sign. So they stayed at home a full day out of seven. Nothing doing. It was like a wasted time. But that was an offering to God. There are things you waste for the sake of God. And that was why when that young woman wasted the alabaster box, Jesus is not budged. You know that's one way by which you give to God. It's important. That's why sometimes, as a man, you just decide, okay, everybody in this house, come. Where are we going? We're just going to eat something expensive. And that's why occasionally, it's not as if I say that you must celebrate birthdays. But let celebration be around you once in a while. Let your neighbors come to your house and eat. Find an excuse. Call it Thanksgiving. I moved into a new house. Not your house you rented, but you just moved in. Just an excuse. It's an offering. It's an offering. It can be, listen, I'm not joking about it. It can be your half of your month's salary for that month. Just make sure that people are eating it. Just invite everybody. People in your office. The only thing God said is that don't invite only your friends. That was the only thing Jesus warned about. At such times, don't invite only your friends. You live in a rich neighborhood, go to all the gate men around. Those people that put kiosks near the gate of your junction. They see you drive past every day, give them a card. Down the road, we are doing a party. You were just packed in. Please, you are invited. Plenty of food, plenty to drink. Make sure you don't miss it. That's one way Christians are supposed to give offerings. The Lord is good. So we're talking about different ways, different places. So I've mentioned a number of places. The word of God is important. So I put it in above. Other places, the minister of the word of God, people you are supposed to honor, especially your parents. Like I said, when you start earning, please make some of these things priority. Don't leave these things till the last. It's only when your parents are having grandchildren, that's how you know you give them some. That is when you're having children, you know, they are now grandparents. As soon as you left school, settle them. Make it priority. The school, the fellowship you attended on campus, you graduated. Honor them. They were there with you, praying with you. When you were having troubles, they were the ones praying with you. There was a time they gathered the money and helped you. It's not the car you drive back that shows that God has blessed you. No. You go back there one day and say, ah, guys, how's everybody doing? I just felt like saying, thank you, Jesus. There are 400 people in the fellowship, so there are plenty. You can do party, you are earning well. Give them something for everybody to drink one day. Or drop money in the offering basket there, a good size. Buy them a new keyboard, a new set of drums. You don't need a car yet. You can trek for another 2 years. You say, I want to marry, so let me buy the car now. No. Many married men are not driving cars. They hire a keke, chauffeur driven. What is a big deal? Some of these things can wait. No wonder we carried some things, no, to my parents-in-law and all of that. My mother-in-law looked and just said, oh, you are spending money. You know, just my wife said, you need to do this, do that. My wife said, there will always be time for those things. What she didn't say, which is good, she didn't say it, is you people won't live forever, you know. She shouldn't say that, but that was the idea. It's true. Your parents are not going to live forever. So you can't live honoring them till when everything is settled. When you finish building your house, it complete, you go home, your father died yesterday. What are you going to do? I'll still go back to the issue of how, all right, in a moment. Let me just keep explaining these things. So these are the things you do as believers. It's when you do all of these things that you are giving to God. And in fact, because of time, let me just switch over to the matter of how, all right? How? Now, what I want to give is practical wisdom, all right? Now, I jumped referring to a lot of scripture because there are things we can easily find out where the Bible says that he that gives to the poor honors the Lord, you know, that all of that, okay? There is all over scripture. There are so many, I don't even need to persuade you about it. I'm sure you are convinced, all right? Now, I just want to talk about how. Let me talk about that how thing. How do I give? I have money, how? We have established that you are not giving because you want God to increase it. You are giving because you are a faithful servant. And this is the law of God. Any money he gives into you, there are two parts. You can read that from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. Seed for the sower is the one you give out. You are not the one that eats it. Bread for food is the one you eat. You are not giving it out. And both of them are inside any money that God gives you. Now, this is where Christianity is beautiful. This is where Christianity is different. God doesn't have any law on it that applies to everybody. He does not have. If I go and read the Romans chapter 12, there's a ministry called the giving ministry. A number of Christians are in that ministry. And they cannot even operate the general principles we are talking about in the same proportion we are talking about them. For them, giving is their work. There are people like that. I'll talk about them if I can get them, maybe next time. But I'm going to emphasize something here. There is no general law for every Christian. You say 10% of your income belongs to God is not Christianity. It's a modern invention. It's not Christianity at all. That was why you never saw it preached anywhere to Christians in your Bible. Not one time. And there were many occasions in which money was spoken about. Let's be honest. People say it was before the law. I agree with you. It was long before the law. After the law, it wasn't there again. This is the way I apply that. Before the law does not mean it was after the law. When the people is under the law, they say it's not under the law, it was before the law. There are two sides. There was Abraham tithed before the law, but the tithe we preach today is the one under the law. Because the tithe of Abraham was voluntary. It was not compulsory. It had the blessing, it didn't have a curse. And the proportion was not decided by God, it was decided by Hammurabi. Hammurabi was a king at that time that reigned over the whole of that area. He had what they call the Babylonian codes of Hammurabi. He was the one that legislated 10%, not God. Amongst the other things he legislated was that if a woman did not bear her husband children, she gave her maid to her husband. And if she did that, the man cannot marry another wife. Which was why Sarah offered Hagar to Abraham. Which was why Leah and Rachel did that when they wanted more children. So come on, these are not new things. So please, let's get real. Let's be Christian. Let's be Christian. What was special in the tithe of Abraham was that the honor money was given to a priest of the Most High God. If you're in America, all right, if you're in America and you're Britain, and you're a high earner, your tax can be up to 40%. You know that. It's an insult to God if you give the government 40% and tithe 10%. If you wanted to do what Abraham did, you will give the government 40% and give God 40%. And you manage the 20%. People are not tithing like Abraham. If you wanted to follow the law of it, Abraham's 10% was their taxation mode. So if you're in the 30% tax bracket, then to honor God, you give American government 30%, then you have to find a way to route 30% to God. Otherwise, you're a thief and you're a robber. I'm sure you don't want to tithe again. After the one I've said, you're not interested anymore. Yes, and that's why God didn't make it compulsory for you. That's why he didn't make it compulsory. So let's get it clear. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So it's very important to understand that. But Christians, this is what we do, and it is working for God in giving. You look at your life, you look at your income, you look at these areas I have talked about, and you apportion each person his own portion appropriately. You hear what I said?
Yes.
We've talked about different areas. We mentioned a number of them. And you apportion each person his own appropriately. There are those who have the giving ministry. We'll talk about them later. But for the average Christian, you will sit down. It is your personal decision, not mine, not your pastor's own. Nobody can decide for you. If at the end of every month, just to make it easy to calculate, I get 10,000 and that's my income. I look, I said, the church I go to, how much can I use to support them on a regular basis? You decide by yourself. You take that, you put it in. Oh, this man has been a blessing. Oh, Pastor Banker has blessed me. I would like to buy him a recharge card. Okay, I don't want to do it every month. Once in a while, this is what I will give. No, then my pastor special. I know that I'm a part of the denomination, but he preaches a good word. This month, every few months, I'll do this. I used to honor him. I'm working. I have parents. There are two kinds of parents. The ones that can take care of themselves, the ones that need their children to help them. Depending. If your parents are the type that are richer than you, yes, you may not have. Now, I'm being practical now. Understand? You can modify as it suits you. Say, okay, maybe every once in a while, I make a new suit of clothes. I give to my father. I buy some material, I give to my mother. I go home and drop a bag of rice. Once in a while. But if they need it, Then I make it a monthly thing. Every month this amount goes. Oh, I'm helping out, support somebody. I'm supporting an orphanage. Every month this is their portion. You put that one down like that. Okay, I pay rent. No, you just calculate where your money is supposed to go. You are not under pressure to impress anybody. If your money would not join to buy expensive clothes, you are forbidden from wearing expensive clothes from the income. You can pray. You know, God is wonderful. Somebody can just, you can just win an MTN promo one day. Say, the Italian suits, you go and collect and wear. Are you getting my point? Don't go and be, you know, there are things you shouldn't do on credit. Brazilian hair on credit, may it catch fire. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Okay, the men, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may, if you like, we have prayed for you. And our prayer is for you. 6 months, the woman selling hair is calling you. 6 months. Shame on you. May Agbero tear it off your head. Yes, that's the idea. It's very painful. You won't do it again. Even David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. After that, obedience to the word of God. There are things you don't buy and be paying for 6 months. You buy one shirt 6 months ago. You are still paying. If you have to pay 6 months for a shirt, you shouldn't be wearing a shirt. Wear singlet. How can you be paying for a shirt for 6 months? That's what it is. They are cheap shirts. They are used shirts. Just locate some brothers that are your size and are senior to you financially. There's a way to do it. Just say, Apostle Okemute. Say, me and you are the same size. This is your shirt. When you finish wearing your portion. There's what they call the law of gleaning. There are times you are the one collecting gleaning. The time will come, you are the one gleaning. Just know your face in life. There's no need to quarrel. You want to show that your boss in the office, that anybody can do it. Your boss, you know, the Bible says that you are running with men. They are wearing you out. What will happen when you run with horses? So people are competing with those who are riding on horses, and they are running. The man bought a suit for 45,000 naira, 85,000 naira. He bought it from pocket change. You are still telling the supplier, don't worry, no, next week I will find something for you. On suit. Next week you will find something. Next week you will find something on suit. If you know you are not blessed, though, you are very stupid. Just say, you know the worst. Just go and buy monkey jacket. You know the common monkey jacket. Take your life easy. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes.
Yes.
Your time is coming. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen, you must make allowance for generosity in your life. That's what I'm talking about. You must make allowance for generosity. Go and see. When Paul was saying that he that steals, let him steal no more. He said, but let him walk with his hands. Why? So that he will have something to give. Paul was emphatic about it. He said, let him walk so he will have something to give. He took it for granted that the purpose for having is so you can give. Come on, make allowance for generosity. That's what I'm talking about. Please, let me close. The Lord is good. Now, it's as you are doing this that you are working for God. Make sure, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Your money must be preaching the gospel. It may be small, but it must be preaching the gospel. It must be preaching the gospel. It must be preaching the gospel. There are people that should just get up and say, I don't have any money. I hear they are washing car there. Just go and join to wash car for 2 days so that they can say, okay, I joined those that are preaching the gospel with my money. This giving culture, I think Christians need to learn it very well. We do a lot of things. We stress ourselves for ourselves. But we hardly stress ourselves to give. We think we are supposed to give out of change, leftover. When I've eaten and I'm full, that which I have remaining, I will give. No, giving is priority. It's priority. It's not what I do when I have nothing else to do with money. It is what I do first, and whatever is remaining, I do the other things. That's what, look, if we live like this, you will see the power of God release into our finances. The reason why God just, these guys doesn't understand. They are praying every day. I said, last message, I said you should listen to, okay, I think they have some of them produced that I preached last Sunday in Makurdi. I said, faith. There's a side of faith called faithfulness. And the issue about it in the Greek, the word is the same. Many times faith doesn't work because there's no faithfulness attached. Many of the things we call about prosperity, we don't believe in. We are sowing seed. God, the seed cannot germinate because the people sowing the seeds are not givers. They don't want to understand the purpose. You see Christians saying that when I have, I will give. That is a very, very, very wrong statement. Once you are eating, you can give. Once you are eating, you can give. Once you have a phone, you are a cheerful giver. If that phone ever had credit, you're a cheerful giver. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Yeah, you have the opportunity. Because one day you loaded 200 naira on your card, on your phone. You can dash somebody 15 out of that. One day we're talking with some of our brothers. I was telling the principle that we operate in Kingdom Word. And I said that, for those of you who don't know, every co-worker in Kingdom Word, we make it a law. You must be a financial co-worker. If you are cleaning chair, we thank God for your life. But your money must clean a part of the account in the bank, you know. If guarantee trust, say this place is dirty. You must, you know, that is our rule, okay? What we just do is that it's free will. It's as low as, any amount, okay? We just that, we say that's, because money talks. Money talks. God gave money a special voice. Yeah, money has a unique way of expressing itself. Of expressing people's hearts is unique. Alright? So that day I was talking to one brother, we're having the minister's conference in Benin, and one brother said that, okay, in their ministry, that there's a particular sister, so you're giving an example, what if people don't have? I said, you will have. Because the amount we put it at is so low. I said, you will have. It's just for you to make it priority. He now gave an example. This is what I'm talking about, culture of giving. He now gave an example. He said, okay, there's a particular sister in their ministry that she doesn't have any money, that even to pay her rent, people have to help her pay the rent. I said, did you notice the rent gets paid? I don't know whether he caught that. All of us said, did you notice the rent got paid? He got the point and sat down. I said, but is it, we don't make giving priority, that's why it doesn't get done. We find all kinds of excuses. Once you find excuses, you will not be able to do it. But the Bible says, exercise yourself for the purpose of what? Godliness. That's what the Christian must understand. You exercise yourself for that purpose. It's exercise. You make up your mind, this one I must do. So every time I'm going home, I just tell my father, good afternoon, daddy. I just waka enter, waka come out. So okay, Pastor Banky has taught now that it mustn't be like that. But I'm not rich yet. I just managed one small job. And let me start when I'm going home. I buy 2 pineapples. It's better than nothing. Yes, I can't drive in with the latest model Prado and say, daddy, that is yours. Yes, not yet. But you will get there.
Amen.
Why are you looking at me like you don't like it?
Amen.
That amen should sound like thunder.
Amen.
You will get there. I'm telling you. You will get there. Let me tell you where you will get to. Listen to this. Be collecting, you know. This is where you will get to. One day, a young man will come to see you, he and his wife. And you have seen them off. He said, how did you come? He said, we took a bus. Ah, you took a bus? Are you serious? Wait. You call your wife. What's your wife's name? All right, she claimed it. I said, Ufama. Please, that new Jetta, but you say you don't like it much, right?
Amen.
He just said, that guy, I told her I didn't like it. Okay, let me have the keys. Said the young man, don't put this girl in a bus again. Do you understand me? Give her the keys.
Amen.
You will get there.
Amen.
One day you will use a whole furnished apartment to excuse yourself from attending a wedding.
Amen.
A young man and a young woman, they will come to invite you for the wedding. Say, ah, you will look your wife, look your husband. How do we do this? We can't attend. Ah! They will feel bad though. You know, they really, really respect us. Ah, how do we do it? You just look at each other and say, money answereth all things. Call the young man, go and price a fridge, a freezer, set of furniture, 42-inch TV, everything, rug for 3-bedroom flat. Tell me the cost and 1 year's rent. Let me know how much it is. And the man would dutifully come and say, sir, we tried to make him modest. Everything came to like 3 million naira. Sir, is that all? Okay, just 500,000 for your wife to buy jewelry to hang on the wall. Yes. 3.5 million, take. Because I can't come for the wedding. That man will say, Oga, may you not come in Jesus' name. May you not come. Coming to do what? With this kind of not coming, nobody should come. Nobody should come. Just me, my father-in-law. Even my parents can stay at home. Just need 2 witnesses, the priest, my father-in-law, to give out the girl. Wait, if everybody does like this, what is a wedding about anyway? The Lord is good. I feel like praying. God will lift you up to that level in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Giving will be your habit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said giving will be your habit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will lift you to that level in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Poverty is not your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your hand will be lifted. You will be able to give in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, let's close here, all right? This is my emphasis. Giving must be a habit. It's something we exercise ourselves concerning. We exercise ourselves. We don't wait, all right, till things are comfortable. It's something we start practicing. We exercise ourselves. There's no law, all right, on how much you give. It's as you like it. These are different areas of life that God expects you to participate in, and by doing those things, you'll be giving to God, all right? It's as you like it, all right? It's not burdensome. Let me just say, the commandments of God, they are not burdensome. The Bible says, as a man proposes in his heart, you decide by yourself, you sit down, apportion your money appropriately. That's just the emphasis. Let me just leave it there. Apportion it appropriately. I've just given different areas that when you are doing, you are giving to God. It's not only when you come to church that you are giving to God. When you are doing all of these other things, you are giving to God. When you are giving towards the advancement of the gospel, you are giving to God. When you are honoring people you are supposed to honor, you are giving to God. When you are helping the people who are broke, who are poor, you are giving to God. When you are helping close relatives who are poor, you are giving. But that one is a special commandment you are supposed to do. If you have, as a believer, in your household, if people are broke, God says you are the first that should be in line to help them. They shouldn't go out looking for other people when they have a Christian inside the house. Are you getting my point here? These are the things you do and you are giving to God. When you are doing all of, and don't forget, we'll talk about it maybe later also. I said there are those that have the giving ministry. I didn't talk about them at all today. Maybe next time I might. There are those that have the giving ministry. Their job is just to give. Just like Pastor Banky preaches, their job is to give. They start it from the time they have little. And they continue to when they have abundance. Once you are earning plenty money, God has recruited you into that ministry. Yes, you have been recruited. You go, you work like everybody else. At the end of the month, your salary is 2.5 million naira. Is your head big? It's not because your head is big that they are paying you so much. It's because God says, listen, for goodness sake, this work cannot be shared equally. Are you getting my point? If a ministry needs 5 million naira, only you should give half. Let the other 500 people in the church gather the balance. It's called a giving ministry. It's a job that God gives believers, all right? So those are the things that we do and we know we are working for God. I hope you've gotten my point.
Yes.
Let me stop it here. Next time we'll continue. Let's bow our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Let's give him thanks. Being a giver is what we must become. That's what the Spirit of Christ in us has made us. We are givers. We are givers. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Let's commit ourselves again. Say, Lord, we are givers. Say, Lord, I am a giver in the name of Jesus. I commit myself to giving again. I commit myself to giving. I commit myself to giving. I commit myself to giving. In the name of Jesus, I commit myself. I learn the giving habit. I am a cheerful giver. Say it, I'm a cheerful giver. I learn the giving habit. I operate. I exercise myself in that level of godliness. I receive grace. Don't forget, I gave instructions to a few people earlier on. Tomorrow, go and do something different from what you've ever done. And don't hang anything on it. Just be generous. Exercise yourself for the purpose of giving. in the name of Jesus Christ.